nice. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, thank you. I will call you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here. Today is Thursday, November 12th, 2009, an unusual Thursday morning City Council meeting due to Veterans Holiday of yesterday. It's 9:30. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Leonard is here. Unless a housekeeping item, just for those of you that might be here to sign up to testify, unless there's objection from council, we are going to continue item number 1548 to Wednesday, November 18th, yes, at 10:30 a.m. Hearing no objections, 1548, that's regarding the PG East Stadium rezone issue is continued till the aforementioned time. Can you please read the title, Carla, for Council Communications, item number 1544?
Request of Ibrahim Mubarak to address Council regarding utilizing open land for tents of the homeless.
Mr. Mubarak, welcome back. Glad you're here. Please come forward. You just need to give us your first and last name, that's all. And that clock will help you count down your 3 minutes.
My name is Ibrahim Mubarak. I'm here on behalf of I would like to say thank you for letting me come here, and I hope all you are staying dry and warm today, because I'm here on behalf of the people that's not staying dry and warm. I have come before you countless times and met with several commissioners, except Commissioner Fritz, Fish. For some reason, he don't want to see me, and I have other constituents that have signed up, made appointments to see him that he refused to, and we go to see Commissioner Fish because he's over the homeless part of the city and over the housing authority, but each time we go see him, somehow we get detoured. And I think that you all should really know that it's raining outside, and it's been a fourth of a quarter of inch of raining out there, and it's still raining out there. The police are still raiding campsites. As of yesterday, they was giving citations to people who's trying to stay dry and trying to stay warm. And I know as the city council can do something that allow or permit people to put tents up and or makeshift shelters with tarps so they can stay dry and warm and keep them up during the daytime. I mean, it won't do any good for you to impose fines on people that oppress people and want them to pay that because they're trying to stay dry and warm. We are American citizens. And when you create laws that afflict people for trying to look out for their welfare, you're creating a social segregation. And it behooves me to think that are you being partial or impartial to people that don't have, and you creating a have against a have not by not allowing people to put up tents or put a makeshift shelter. Last night, the police raided under the Hawthorne Bridge, moving people out and arresting people once again. I don't know if you all are aware of this, but this act is constantly happening. You have warming shelters, and when people go in line to stay for warming shelter, the police are running, naming, screaming, and pulling people out of line, checking them for warrants, and that's deteriorating people from going into the warming shelter. So I appeal to you, quit pissing on our head, telling us it's rain. We know what's happening out there. We on ground zero. You all are causing horrific pressure and stress on people that don't have.
Thank you for your testimony. Mayor, may I just say, Mr. Mubarak, if you've had trouble getting an appointment, let me apologize for that. I think I've met with just about every group that has an interest in this issue. If for some reason you have not been able to, would you stop at my office afterwards and we'll make an appointment?
Sir, your time's up. And
stop at my office and we'll make an appointment.
Not only me, but
sir, with 3 minutes, you're allowed to say whatever you want. You know that. Those are the rules. And the next 3 minutes go to council calendar item title number 1545.
Request of Art Rio Sr. to address council regarding campsites and suspending the anti-camping.
Hi. Mr. Rios, please come forward. Welcome to the city council. Glad you're here.
Yep. Good morning. My name is Art Rios, and good morning, City Council and Mayor Adams. I would like to take a moment of silence for those on the streets who have passed and may pass away out on the streets in the future, and now a moment of silence. I ask you to understand that I have come today to talk to City Council about different things that have happened. I have protested out in front of City Hall not once but twice in less than 2 years. Sitlie is now unconstitutional against someone's human rights. Anti-camping is also the same, someone too detrimental to someone's health. We look at this, and once again, we move along every couple hours. We're asked to leave. We're asked to pack up within 5 minutes. It is very understanding, and it's for those who are out there that are suffering. Their stuff is taken. We're trying to find out how we can get it back, and we don't. Our community needs to know, are you doing your job? We'd like to know from a homeless perspective. There has been so many different things that have been out there. Noise pollution, TriMet hikes, fees for those who help the homeless. Not enough shelters still for couples, youth, people with animals, and for some of us ex-addicts and addicts still suffering. There is no prevention or intervention treatment to help those in need. Why is this? We'd like to ask. I'd like to ask you also one simple question. Are you looking at the whole situation from a homeless, houseless person perspective, or are you guessing what they really need? We have our community who says, may no one human being go without. and we ask respect, dignity, and compassion. So I'd just like to ask you, are you really looking at the issues from someone that's homeless or houseless, not taking their information the right way so they can get their things back? Mr. Saltzman, please understand, things are happening out there, and the police are not looking at someone with the mental illness, someone that's been homeless for a long period of time. Please understand, this needs to be fixed. Thank you.
Your testimony. Carla, can you please read the title for Councilman Communications, item number 1546?
Mm-hmm. Request of Anna Beth Mosley to address council regarding eliminating the anti-camping ordinance. She contacted the office and is not able to make it.
Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1547?
Request of Dave Nadal to address council regarding ideas regarding homelessness. He is having to reschedule.
Okay. Before you all leave, I just wanted to say a few things. Advocacy is welcomed, and the concern is shared by everyone on the City Council, no more so than by Commissioner Fish, who's actively looking at the issue of camping. This is a very difficult issue. This City Council, while cutting budgets across the board, increased funding over 30% for services for homeless and affordable housing. This City Council, in partnership with our agency, the Portland Development Commission, in the next 5 years, will invest an estimated $370 million in homeless programs and affordable housing programs. And I wager that that's probably more than all the other local governments in the region, if not the state, combined. We continue to get demand for our services that exceed our revenues, and we continue to be creative and care deeply about this issue. So we appreciate your advocacy, and I just wanted to underscore with you that we do care a lot about this issue. So thank you. That gets us to the consent agenda. Anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
Yes, please. I wanted to pull 1556.
1556 is pulled off the consent agenda. Anything else? All right. Carla, can you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Well, I am not going to pull this. I do want to acknowledge some of my friends in the audience on item 1562, led by Romeo Sosa. Welcome today. And want to acknowledge that by this vote, we're authorizing another $50,000 for the day labor workers site, which I am very pleased to sponsor and continue working with Romeo and others who have endeavored to create some humanity for people who want to work and create some rules for people who want to work. And there's nothing I respect more than working people, and which is why we have such a close partnership and will continue to work together. Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda with one pulled is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain? Oh, we moved the time certain. So that gets us to the regular agenda. Do we have staff in the room to hear the item that was pulled yet? Okay, then let's go to item number, the regular agenda. Item number 1578 is referred back to my office unless there are objections. So referred. Carla, can you please read emergency ordinance item number 1579?
1578, you said?
It's been referred back to my office.
Okay. 1579, authorized Bureau of Purchases to enter into a contract and provide for payment for construction of the South Auditorium Lighting Phase 1 American Recovery and Reinvestment Act project.
Staff? All right. This is required to be on the council agenda. It's shown up in our request to the American Recovery Act. It is within budget. And are there any questions for the sponsoring commissioner, which is me?
Thank you, Mayor, for the information that your bureau gave to my office.
These are three types of streetlights being replaced with stimulus money. No fountain lights, no lights that affect the lighting of any of the Halperin fountains are effective. And phase one replaces lights in the area around Southwest Clay, Southwest 4th, and Southwest NATO to the north of Lincoln. And a city-hired consultant has been working with the neighborhood to design the proposal. So I enthusiastically support you.
Yeah, and they're in pretty miserable shape. So is there anyone who wishes to testify on 1579?
No one signed up.
Can you please, unless there's additional discussion, can you please call the roll on 1579?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Congratulations, Maryland, for getting more stimulus money. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, President Barack Obama.
Aye. Yay.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1580?
Authorize Bureau of Purchases to enter into a contract and provide for payment for construction of the Southeast Portland Pavement Preservation American Recovery and Reinvestment Act project.
Any questions? This is authorizes the purchasing agent to negotiate and execute a contract to the lowest bidder, lowest responsive bidder, again using AARA money. Is there anyone wishes to testify on this, on item number 1580?
And we don't have staff on this, right?
Apparently not. Oh, do we?
Yes.
Oh, well, I you were blending in with the column there. Sorry. Yeah. So there's a question for you.
Yes.
I just wondered if you could explain to the viewing public what is the what does it mean to be part of the Southeast Portland Pavement Preservation Project as a pilot project?
Oh, great. I'm Kyle Chizik with the Bureau of Transportation, and this project is basically providing maintenance on three of our major arterials in Southeast Portland, Southeast Madison and Hawthorne, and Southeast Cesar Chavez Boulevard, Southeast 39th. This project, we tried to prioritize the higher transit use streets. We got direction from City Council in January that we were prioritizing the major arterials for this type of maintenance. And Southeast Hawthorne and Madison, they're major transit routes. They're also major cycling routes. Southeast 39th, also a major transit route. So we tried to prioritize those. The pavement over on Southeast Hawthorne and Madison, it's pretty bad. I mean, you come over on the bus or on a bicycle, you're bumping around. So we're basically doing curb-to-curb repaving. We'll also be doing some of the base repair there as well and adding ADA-accessible corners and curb ramps.
Perfect. Thank you.
Unless someone wishes to testify for the council discussion, you can stay there, though, Kyle. Carla, would you please call the roll on emergency ordinance item number 1580?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, as with the previous item on lighting, this is basic services, and this is doing preventative maintenance, although it seems like we're getting right to the edge of whether it's preventative in some of these areas. But it's much cheaper to repave than to have to start over. So, again, congratulations and thanks to Mayor Adams and Barack Obama, President, for making sure that these kinds of basic services. And while I support the emphasis on arterials, we also have a long way to go in a lot of unpaved streets and lack of sidewalks in a lot of areas of the city. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1580 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1581?
Authorize Bureau of Purchases to enter into a contract and provide for payment for construction of the Portland Bicycle Boulevard Improvements American Recovery and Reinvestment Act project.
This is 53 miles of bicycle boulevard improvements, including pavement markings, wayfinding signage, and to deal with, within the money allowed, crossing signage and signalization for bike boulevards and busy streets. Did I get that pretty?
Yes. We unfortunately, again, Kyle Chizik, Bureau of Transportation, we unfortunately don't have enough money to do the signalization, but with the $1 million, 53 miles of bicycle boulevards, we'll be getting pavement markings that are a lot larger. Currently, our pavement markings for the bicycle boulevards are about this big. They're
totally
dinner
plate
size. Yeah.
Totally inadequate.
Yes. So now we're going to be putting down, we've worked with the Federal Highway Administration and the Oregon Department of Transportation. They're going to allow us to do what's called a Sharrow. It's a bicycle symbol with two chevrons. We're going to try and see if they'll let us do something distinctively Portland with the Shero, but right now our fallback position is using the Shero. There are going to be about 2,100 of these pavement markings across the 53 miles. You'll see one every time you enter a block. And it's not only going to be good for cyclists to know which way they're going, they don't have to look for these little dinner plates. It's also something for the driver, if they're on the street, to know that, you know, this is a high priority bicycle route. You're going to see more bicycles here than normally. And so take the appropriate caution.
Thank you, Kyle. Uh-huh. Unless there's someone that wishes to testify on item number 1581, or there's additional council discussion. Carla, can you please call the roll on emergency ordinance 1581?
Fritz?
Oh, my understanding is this is 15 miles of new boulevards as well as the 38 of existing.
There are 30 miles of existing boulevards.
During the vote.
So it's close. It's something.
Whether she's right or wrong.
I should have raised that earlier. Sorry, Cal.
Oh, it's okay.
But anyway, that these are part of the original bicycle master plan as well as part of the updated master plan, which will be coming to council. So it's clearly in line with our policies and directions. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1581 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance 1582?
Authorize Bureau of Purchases to enter into a contract and provide for payment for construction of the Southwest and East Portland Sidewalk Infill American Recovery and Reinvestment Act project.
I do want to make a few introductory comments here. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act was not formulated in a city-friendly way to use those funds for sidewalks. And thanks to Oregon Department of Transportation and the folks there, we were able to move forward with this project in a neighborhood that desperately needs it, with 46% of arterial streets without sidewalks, and in East Portland, where 20% of the busiest streets are without sidewalks. So this does make some headway. Again, thanks to the federal government. We have a long ways to go. Any questions from council? Anyone wish to testify on 1582? Carla, can you please call the roll on item 1582?
Fritz?
Well, this is to reiterate $2 million in federal money to pave, to provide sidewalks in Southwest, where 46% of the arterial streets don't have sidewalks, and in East Portland, where 20% of the arterial streets don't have sidewalks. So it's clearly needed. I'm very excited. One of the streets designated is Southwest Lauderdale, which is in my neighborhood, and I know for a fact that the Neighborhood Association has been asking this for over 18 years. So I'm very, very excited to see it happening. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1582 is approved. Thank you, Mr. Chizik. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1583?
Authorize city fleet to purchase new vehicles and upgrades for use by city bureaus at $92,500.
This had come before us before. Is there someone from City Fleet here if council has discussions? Is there anyone who wishes to testify on item number 1583? Carla, can you please call the roll on 1583?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1583 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, Code Amendment 1584?
Establish a pilot business retention and recruitment credit for qualifying investment management firms.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
This is a reasonable approach to a problem which, instead of enhancing revenue, is losing revenue, and without this amendment would lose even more revenue for Portland and for Portlanders. And the companies will still be paying more per employee than any other type of business, is my understanding, or at least a lot. And I appreciate the partnership of the Portland Business Alliance, this Small Business Advisory Committee, and particular businesses who are committed to a well-funded government services. And that's what I heard in researching this entire proposal. And I especially appreciate Mayor Adams' approach with the pilot project, which, if it doesn't preserve and increase revenues, it won't continue. So that seems like an excellent way of looking to solve this problem. And it's a challenge to the companies to step up and help us recruit and make sure that it does indeed do what it's promising. Aye.
Fish?
Well, I want to concur with my colleague's eloquent comments and just add a few additional points. Like Commissioner Fitz, I think it is not only fair but appropriate that the business community contribute their fair share to the economic health and vitality of our city. And the city's business license tax, the BLT, does that by providing ongoing fund resources to the city, resources that help to pay for our parks and our police and our roads. We are in the worst economic downturn of my lifetime, and we all recognize that city services depend on a thriving business climate. And a thriving business climate, in turn, depends on quality city services. This council previously reformed the business license tax by increasing the owner's business compensation deduction from $63,000 to $80,000. It now increases with inflation and is at $84,000. And by changing from a before-the-fact to an after-the-fact tax. Today, we're considering a further modification, a targeted credit designed to retain and attract financial firms that contribute to our economic vitality. In my view, the mayor has made the case. Many of these firms have expiring leases, are small and mobile, and can choose to locate outside of our city. Additionally, because the business license tax is a tax based on gross receipts, certain locally owned firms are substantially and disproportionately impacted. Now, even with this credit and this pilot, there are roughly 20 firms that could be impacted, which will continue to pay in excess of $500,000 in taxes each year. Without the credit, they would pay more than $1.3 million at the risk, though, of losing all of them as taxpaying citizens. I had two concerns when the mayor first raised this issue. The first was that the ordinance be drafted narrowly, and so that we were clear about who we were targeting. And second, that there be protections built in to prevent any company from gaming the system by taking the credit, in other words, seeking the benefit, but then not giving us the consideration of remaining in Portland. The mayor and his staff have addressed both issues to my satisfaction, and I thank you, Mayor, for that. During these tough times, we have to be creative in our approach to creating and preserving good-paying family wage jobs. I am convinced that without this targeted tax relief, we may lose all or most of these firms and their tax revenue, which is so important to the quality of life in our city. I thank the mayor for his leadership on this issue and his senior staff, and I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm pleased to support this. I think in these times, tough economic times, targeted tax credits that will preserve jobs in the city and will also help locally owned firms are just the right thing we should be looking for and not be afraid of. And I want to thank Mayor Adams for bringing this forward and doing so in a narrowly crafted way that's going to really target some investment management firms that are headquartered here, some who have left recently, and we hope to bring back to Portland from places like Cruise Way or Barnes Road. And I think as we had testimony on this issue last time, that's a very good reality that is likely to happen. So once again, it will keep Portland a vibrant downtown. It will keep jobs downtown. It will help locally owned firms. And it's targeted and has good parameters around it. And it's a pilot. So I want to thank the mayor again for doing this and pleased to support this, what I think will preserve and attract jobs back to the city. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I'm not 100% persuaded that firms would leave if we did not pass this. I have only come to that conclusion after having served in one public capacity or another as an elected since 1993, and then prior to that representing firefighters in this city from 1986 on. I grow weary of the business community, as I made comments earlier when we discussed this, of complaining that they have an undue tax burden in Portland. Oregon happens to be, and I say this really regretfully, one of the lowest taxed states for businesses in the United States. And I couldn't help but hear Senator Dave Nelson, State Senator Dave Nelson, on one of the NPR shows a couple of days ago from Pendleton, who is a Republican, say that Portland, or that Oregon has slipped from being a great state to a good state. And I found that somewhat ironic coming from Senator Nelson, a friend of mine, a person I know, who has led the charge to reduce taxes on businesses and the wealthiest of Oregonians, the consequence of which has been the degrading of the school system throughout the state, not just Portland Public Schools or David Douglas Schools or Park Row Schools, but schools throughout the state of Oregon, K through 12, community colleges and universities have become almost inaccessible to working class kids because of this drive by businesses to shift more and more of the tax burden that society requires of us to provide basic services to working class Oregonians and, in this case, Portlanders. Were Mayor Adams not to have been as collaborative as he has been with each of us on the council, were he not to listen to each of our input and have that reflected in the proposal that we're voting on today, I most certainly would have voted no. But in matters of doubt and in matters of consequence to the mayor, I'm going to defer to his judgment. And it is only for that reason I will vote for this today, and only because it's a pilot project. People need to pay their way to provide the services and the quality of life that I think Oregonians, and in this case Portlanders, deserve. It costs money to provide fire protection, police protection, parks, health care, housing that Commissioner Fish fights for the homeless, housing for working class people, housing for the working poor, medical services, services for the aging, services for the disabled, and certainly services for those addicted to drugs, alcohol, and suffer mental illness. For businesses to consistently come in here and complain that their tax burden is too high rubs me wrong when I know the wider context, and the fact of the matter is that they aren't too high. I don't think they're paying their fair share, to be quite frank. But again, I will defer to the mayor's judgment and the rest of my colleagues on the council on this, and I'm willing to try it for a while to see how it works. But I hope the business community hears this loud and clear. This is enough. The mayor's led efforts to reduce the business license fee in this city and other efforts to make the environment better for business, yet I still meet with business groups and hear them complain about the tax burden, and I've just about had enough of it. So hopefully this will be the last time we have this kind of a proposal come here. People view themselves as partners in this city with the council and the citizens of Portland, and behave as such and pay their fair share to provide the services that we all need. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for helping to craft this pilot project, this pilot effort. And I think that the comments made here from the dais, from all points of view, are really important for everyone in the community to hear. I also just want to reiterate a little bit of history to the degree that, to fill in some of the details that Commissioner Leonard represented, summarized, and that is 13,000 firms, an estimated 13,000 firms receive, mostly local, smaller, owner-controlled firms received a benefit from raising the exemption from the BLF and from the owner's compensation deduction reform as well that Commissioner Fish referenced. Smaller, owner-controlled, Portland-based firms, mostly Portland-based firms. We also raised taxes on an entire industry that was not paying anything, and that was fair. Because real estate, associate brokers, use city services, and when profitable, should pay like all other firms. And in the future, the second half of our owner's compensation reform will require raising taxes on approximately 1,000 firms within the city. That 1,000 firms in the city that we estimate gross more than $20 million and pay $100 in taxes. That will be coming forward to the City Council for consideration over the next 2 to 3 years. So this is part of a continuum of efforts on City Council to strike that balance between fairness as described by everybody and reality described by everybody up here on the council. So I want to underscore the part about help and partnership from the business community to recruit businesses back into the city, especially in this area of industry, financial, wealth management firms. I want to thank my staff, Kimberly Schneider, and the Bureau of Revenue folks, Terry and Sue and Skip and Clay. Thank you. Bye. 184 is approved on second reading. Can you please read the title for report, item number 1585.
Accept implementation update on Goal 3 of the City of Portland Economic Development Strategy, Stimulate Neighborhood Business Vitality.
Please come forward if you would. So rightfully, small businesses, neighborhood businesses in the City of Portland have complained about a lack of support, a lack of access, and the ability to connect with assistance from the City of Portland and our Economic Development Agency, the Portland Development Commission. The City Council over the last couple of years has increased funding for to provide professional support that they hire and control with the Association of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations. We've also implemented a matching grant program for business associations, and this City Council in the most recent budget increased funding to help and assist businesses, especially small and neighborhood businesses. In the meantime, Portland Development Commission, very wisely, has been working on, as part of their overall reform, putting together a division of the agency that is focused on small and neighborhood businesses. For the first time, the Portland Development Commission has put together the team focused on exclusively on improving neighborhoods, neighborhood businesses, and small businesses. And so I wanted this report before council today to get your input and to let the public know that this reform has been completed. Who's going to start?
I guess I can start.
Skip.
Skip Newberry with the mayor's economic development team. And if we could cue the PowerPoint. So on October 28th, we had PDC here give an update to council on the implementation of the economic development strategy. They covered goals 1 and 2, including maximizing competitiveness and also urban innovation. We're here today to cover goal 3, which is neighborhood business vitality. And I just want to start by saying that although we now have a new division at PDC focused on neighborhood vitality and small business, there are also small business assistance programs available through the other sort of divisions within PDC. So whereas goal 1 and goal 2 are very important to the economic development strategy, they're also very much important to small businesses as well and the types of services they provide. Looking at the next slide here, this gives an overview of sort of where we have certain themes that both inform the economic development strategy and also help small businesses and community neighborhood vitality in Portland. If you look at the outside of the circle here, it's job growth, sustainable way of life, and also prosperity. And those are all goals of the economic development strategy. As we dial down further in the middle here, we have stimulate neighborhood business vitality, maximize competitiveness, and drive urban innovation. So now for the first time, as you'll learn today, we have a new division at PDC that small businesses and communities can look to apply for loans, to improve their storefronts, to seek technical assistance, and access the broader economy. And with that, I'll turn over to Commissioner Wilhoit from PDC.
Thanks, Skip. Charles Wilhoit, Commissioner with the Portland Development Commission. Morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. As you indicated, Mayor Adams, PDC has changed. And That change, I think, will just result in a better focus and more effectiveness, which will benefit the entire city of Portland. So it's a positive change, but each of you has been very involved and aware of what's been going on at PDC over the past 5 years. Needless to say, PDC isn't the same redevelopment organization that existed in the 70s, 80s, or even the 90s. And with the input from the community and our businesses, we've come to be aware that small business does need greater attention. Area communities need greater attention. We recognize clearly as a commission and an organization that small businesses are the backbone of the economy. So this was a natural evolution. The Portland Business Alliance has taken the same approach. We have to focus on small business. That's where the jobs are created, and that's really what drives our economy. So we at PDC have gone through an internal review and a restructuring to really focus our activity on small business. As you can see on the slide here, the numbers translate into statistics that indicate 94% of the business services that we provide are provided to small businesses. And there's a lot of discussion about what a small business is, but just from the perspective of what we're looking at today, you can look at anything from a small 1 to 2 person doggy daycare to a company such as Icebreaker, which is an icon, an anchor in the activewear industry. So small business, definitionally speaking, PBA is looking at any company with 250 or fewer employees. So wide range of companies fall in that category. And the statistics make it pretty clear we are focused on small business. Given that 94% of our customers are small businesses, we're going to focus on services that cater to small businesses. And these services relate to helping small businesses flesh out and work with develop business plans, helping small businesses with working capital, certain loans and grants that are catered specifically to small business. These are the types of activities that PDC is currently focusing on so we can increase the vitality of small business, therefore increase the number of jobs created by small businesses. You can see on the chart on the screen, we have focused our activities specifically on areas that address small business because small businesses develop neighborhoods and create neighborhoods. Once again, it's all about jobs. But small businesses become part of the community. They help define the community. They help drive the community. So you can see we have revitalization, workforce equity, technical assistance, finance, all of these areas developed specifically with a focus on helping small business. And finally, don't need to tell you, you are all aware of it. We went through significant change in the last year. We're on the cusp of developing a housing bureau, but more importantly, we're on the cusp of designing expert teams who can really focus on all of the activities of PDC that relate specifically to small business. And we want to tie in housing development with economic development, with just regional tangible property development, and tie it all together from an expert focus, working in teams that can really make decisions that are coordinated and that benefit the communities, particularly from the perspective of how it's helping the vitality of small business. So this team approach also includes economic opportunity initiative program that was formerly in the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. So that logically should spin under this umbrella of experts and focus on small business, and we've done that at PDC. And we want to definitely credit Byron Estes for heading that team effort within PDC. Finally, Bruce is going to go into a lot more detail regarding what the specific focus is at PDC with regard to small business. But from my perspective, as the chair during this time, we heard a lot of discussion from the community. And I describe it as discussion. I don't like to look at things in a negative sense. It was discussion that was very pointed about what we as PDC should do. We recognize the value of downtown. We always have to focus on the vitality of our downtown, but everything we do is directed towards the citizens of Portland, and more of those citizens live in the outlying communities. And I think that's why we are where we are today, and we look forward to this focus on small business because, once again, it is the backbone of the economy and therefore the backbone of our community. So thank you for allowing me to be here today and play a role in this advancement.
Thanks for I want to just thank you, Charles, for your work in making this happen.
Well,
really appreciate
the opportunity and the support, and I'll turn it over to our executive director, Bruce Warner.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Skip. Good morning, Mayor and councilors. For the record, Bruce Warner, Executive Director of the Portland Development Commission. I'm a pinch hitter here this morning, so I'll go through the slides you have. What I wanted to show you here, we talked a lot about neighborhoods and small business. And again, just following up on what Charles said, is if you look at the profile of the businesses in our target sector industries, advanced manufacturing, clean tech, sustainable industries, software, and activewear, you think about many of those firms being large in those, but there's a small number of large firms and just a whole heck of a lot of small firms. And what this shows you is the average number of employees per firms in those particular your areas, and then shows that what's the percentage of firms with 20 employees or less, and you can see it's rather dramatic. If you look at the activewear, one of the ones that Charles talked about, 92% of the activewear firms are 20 employees less, which is really interesting. And I just want to make sure you understand how small business not only connects the neighborhood work that we do, but it's also part of the ongoing target cluster work that we do on a regular basis. The next slide is really, again, just meant to emphasize this more. We're doing a number of things at PDC to assist small businesses and minority women and emerging small businesses, women and minority-owned and emerging small businesses. For example, we're right now working with construction contractors trying to figure out how to provide working capital for them to help them be successful in starting up. We're moving forward on that. It's taking advantage of some of the general fund that the city council has given us as part of our annual budget, but also some of the EOI dollars economic opportunity and dollars, as well as the dollars of some of our construction projects, because we see a direct link between our construction projects and the ability to create new opportunities for women-owned, minority-owned, and emerging small businesses. I think many of you are aware of the Clean Energy Works, where we're going to be working, setting up programs to educate and help small contractors get into the retrofit of existing buildings to be more energy efficient and sustainable. We have initiated a program where we offer green grants, green features grants to small businesses. We just went through a process in the interstate and awarded a number of grants to firms to allow them to be much more efficient in the way they do business and to have a less of a footprint on the environment. And the thing, I think we just had a celebration at our board meeting Tuesday. We've been talking about how we've been doing to encourage those minority-owned, women-owned, and emerging small businesses to participate in our programs. I think if you remember 4.5 years ago when I first got here, PDC was viewed as not being friendly to the various communities, especially in terms of the way we do business and engage in our construction projects. I'm pleased to let you know that in the last 2 years, we've exceeded $74 million of investment in those types of firms, which is 35.2% of all PDC contracting dollars. And it also set the stage, as I noted here, for an additional $42 million worth of private investment in terms of the buildings and facilities that are being constructed in the South Waterfront that are going to minority women and emerging small businesses. And if you look at our projects overall, we've been very pleased because 24% of the work done on PDC construction projects has been done by women and people of color, and 23% of them, of the workers on those projects, have been apprentices. And we actually have a number of those that have graduated to journey-level positions. So we're very, very pleased with what we've seen there. The next slide is just meant to show you some of the focus areas in this area of our work. The Small Business Technical Assistance and Entrepreneurial Education is a program which is up and running, but we know we have additional work to do there. But it's very important to help our businesses. The things I talked to you about earlier are some of the efforts we got in that area. The Small Business Portal and Hotline, Mayor, you touched on that. This is a very important thing for our small businesses because there's a number of resources out there, we found out, but many of them, it's very hard for them to connect. And so we want a one-stop shopping center in terms of a number that allows them to tag up and find opportunities there. And I think maybe you'll probably touch on that some more.
Well, I'll just do it here if it's okay with you. So if you're a small business and you've wanted to get assistance, you've had to call dozens of potential phone numbers and figure out for yourself which program is best suited to respond to the challenge or opportunity you as a small business person are facing. And we did this on the workforce side with Work Systems Incorporated, where I thought it was a very good clarifying task for them to come up with a single phone number for folks seeking jobs, and for businesses, the same phone number seeking workers. So I asked of our Small Business Advisory Council, who's long sought a very similar goal, and APMBA and PDC to come up with that single phone number. And I'm pleased to announce today that starting in January, you can call 503-8654-BIZ. And it is the information and referral number that will sort out where you need to go and what resources might be available for you. We will have a beta version of a one-stop web portal starting in January, but this phone number starts in December. So thank you for your work in that area.
Thanks. Also, I just want to add one comment about this slide that we've been looking at with Goal 3 with the implementation update. This is over a five-year period. So, for example, with the Main Street program, whereas that's going to be launching in January when we're moving into the application phase, the goal is to eventually start with four programs at the end of the first year and then gradually grow the program over 5 years. So all of these percentages here are over a five-year continuum.
Thanks.
Thank you, Skip. So we've talked about the Green Main Streets here. It's a very important program, we believe, for the neighborhoods and the commercial corridors in those neighborhoods. It's a national program, and we want to have a number of green Main Streets established and underway next year. And so if you turn to the next graphic, you'll see some of our accomplishments to date. You see on the left side the small business technical assistance and entrepreneurial education. Just point out our partnerships with the Lewis and Clark Small Business Clinic that's really focused on minorities and women-owned businesses, our partnerships with the African-American Chamber, and our efforts to get with Mercy Corps and others, as for example, to get loans out the door. In terms of the commercial district renovation and revitalization, the Portland Main Streets, the Green Main Streets, is going to be the major focus and centerpiece of that program. I just wanted to show you there's a number of other projects we're working on that are important to neighborhood livability and commercial corridors. And then finally on the right side, the alignment of services and small businesses portal. You heard about the hotline. And then I just wanted to note that there are a number of storefront grants, development opportunity grants, and other loans to businesses that continue to go out the door. And I think people don't understand how much we actually work with small businesses because, as Charles mentioned, the vast majority of our financial aid goes to small businesses. The final slide here is again, what the future is going to bring. What I said, and within 1 year, we hope to have four neighborhood districts selected and underway in terms of the Portland Green Main Street program. The Portland Business Hotline and web portal will be in operation. And I just wanted to note the Northeast Economic Initiative, which Charles chairs for us, which is a great opportunity to work with the Interstate Oregon Convention Center and some of the other communities and how we might best use the boundaries to take advantage of economic opportunities for those areas. And then just showing in the next 2 to 5 years, we want to see additional Main Streets set up, and we want to see some focused neighborhood investment in some of the areas that are noted on this. And then we want to create a seed fund to really do our economic gardening, as we call it, to help us move some of those target businesses that we know are going to be successful in the future to be the next Nike or next Columbia Sportswear. So that would conclude my remarks. And Skip, I don't know whether you wanted to add anything more to it.
I think that's it.
Questions from council?
Yes. So this has to be cutting edge stuff that you guys are doing. I mean, I can't imagine any city in the U.S. being more organized and planned in developing business within the city. I like it a lot. So the thing that I think about then is that, and that I'm looking in here for, which I'm sure you have a great answer for, is then recruitment. so that we have developed these strategies that are great for businesses that are here, then what is it that you are doing to coordinate with Mayor Adams' office to actually focus on recruiting then companies that are maybe located in other cities or maybe even other countries that will want to come here when they understand better, particularly the economic development strategy and action plan, which I've reviewed, that is, I'm sure, something that would be very attractive to somebody who's not here yet. Well, can you just, and I'm just going back to your predecessor, Don Mazziotti. I went with him and PDC staff to the International Shopping Show whatever that, and sat in a booth for 3 days. It's one of those sexy trips that we go on.
International what?
No, that's it.
It's the International Conference of Shopping Centers. Yes.
Shopping centers. Yeah. And we met with... I went and sat in a booth with Don Mazziotti and PDC staff for 3 days.
I'm impressed.
And it was actually a very good thing for me to experience because I actually saw then really up front, this was back in like 2004 or 3, really the excellent recruitment strategy that PDC had then. Now, as you alluded to, Charles and Bruce, we have an exponentially better relationship between council, PDC. So I'm wondering if you could just briefly describe then what it is that, in addition to this, that you're doing within the city, you're doing to explain to other people who, businesses, not in the city, why they should come to Portland.
Well, let me start, and Charles, you can jump in or two if you'd like. First off, excellent question. What I would say is, first off, there's nothing like a good economic downturn to force everybody to work together very, very well. Mm-hmm. The mayor has been instrumental in helping us define the recruitment strategies and the targets that you see here in terms of the businesses we're going after. Since the council has adopted the economic development strategy, we have been very engaged in going throughout the United States and the world to various places where these particular target industries are having their annual business conventions and work.
Can you just give me one example?
Sure. We've gone to Germany to the solar energy expo, whatever it's called. We've gone to...
But walk me through that. So I know what I did at this conference. What did you do with that? To actually hook up with the business and explain to them why they should come to Portland.
Right. So the things that we do are very similar to what you did back then. We first off go there to build connections. So we set up a booth. We set up an area where people can meet and learn about Portland. We also then, usually before we go there, we have a number of firms who we've talked with before. So we have an opportunity to set up appointments with them and some of the people that are there at those conferences. And then we also then have an opportunity to meet people at the conference who have other opportunities. And we learn what they're doing and where they're going. And usually find out that we do some follow-up with them either at that particular event or often... We try to encourage them to come to the city of Portland and the region to understand what we do here, and I think we've been actually very successful. The number of the recent recruitments, like Revolt, for example, are as a result of those types of efforts on our part. So those are being done in all target industries, and I think
you have a focus strategy with. Do you have like a person in charge specifically of recruitment? How does that work?
Yeah, we have a specific staff person who's in charge of each one of the individual clusters. Mm-hmm. So we have a point person that really knows that area, and knows the businesses and knows what they need. If there's one,
if
go
I
ahead.
Could interrupt, then there are two people that focus specifically on the international piece as well. One is in our office, Noah Siegel.
Right. And then Peter Cunningham is the other person that does the work on our behalf. But we also have, for example, Colin Sears, who deals with the renewable energies, was very involved in the Vestas recruitment. And I think you're seeing PDC back to the discussion or the model that we enjoyed in the region in the 1980s, where the state, I'm talking about the region, the regional players, the Port of Portland, we all work together in a unified way. And what the other thing that's, I think, really wonderful about the economic development strategy is that the state and the region are together with us. They have the same priorities, which hasn't been the case.